Radio, CSS Media,
your source for family-centered content.
RadioCSS.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hey everybody, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew. We're your hosts for Audio Theater Central.
Welcome everybody to episode 34.
Episode 34. It's so good to be back.
Yes. And this is your first time joining us. Welcome, welcome to all of our loyal listeners and our loyal fans. Welcome once again.
Very good, Roy.
Yeah.
It's welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Yes. Thank you.
Today we are going to review the Focus on the Family Radio Theater production called At the Back of the North Wind. This one was released a few years ago as of the current recording date, but it's going to be airing on the radio, so we thought, let's take a look at this one. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit later on. We got some feedback and a newscast, the obligatory newscast. We cannot have, well, I guess we have had an episode or two without a newscast, but it hurts Roy's feelings.
So. Yes. And the episode was just shot.
Did you see the download numbers terrible. On that episode?
Yeah. Yeah, they were higher than ever.
Not really.
Yeah.
All right, Roy. It's your turn in the spotlight.
Yes. Christian Book Distributors has The Whispering Finks, Volume 9 of the Jonathan Parks series, available for pre-order. If you order before the album releases, you will receive a substantial discount of over 30%. 30%! In a recent article on the Relevant magazine website, they listed Mr. Whittaker as one of the top heroes of Christian childhood. Click the link in the show notes to read this article. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the news this time. My spotlight is done. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
Fantastic. Yeah. Or fantabulous, as our word that we coined a while back.
I like that one, yeah. Fantabulous. So, on to our review of At the Back of the North Wind by Focus on the Family Radio Theater. We're going to be discussing this today.
Yes, and it was released in 2007. It's 2 hours long on two discs if you buy CDs these days.
What is that? What's a CD?
I don't know. Those are before my time.
Yeah.
I think it's some kind of a financial investment.
Right, thing, yeah.
Certificate of deposit?
That's what it is, yeah.
Anyway, I had never heard this drama until we decided to take a look at it for this episode, and so I was blown away by this.
No,
so,
no pun intended.
Yes.
Yeah. Or pun intended, whichever.
One of the two.
Yeah.
And before we jump into the meat of this review, somebody's going to read for us.
Announcer Andrew is going to read the summary of At the Back of the North Wind. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Andrew's turn.
Oh. Yes. I've gained some weight, so the spotlight has to be a little bigger now. So, but that's okay.
Announcer Andrew is going to announce the annotations of this audio.
Whoa.
Adaptation.
Very good. I was searching for that last word, and it wasn't coming.
Okay, here we go, I think. In this adaptation of George MacDonald's classic story, a beautiful woman known as the North Wind blows through a small village in Victorian London, and everyday lives are mysteriously enveloped by a power and a glory. Along the way, she visits a poor stable boy named Diamond and takes him with her on her journeys. At the Back of the North Wind explores the place of death in our lives, social injustice, and our deep need for love and forgiveness.
Very good. And as you said, it was a book written by George MacDonald. I have never read any of his books, but I did a little bit of research, and I mean, his writing influenced a lot of the well-known classic authors that we talk about today. You know, Mark Twain, C.S. Lewis. So, I mean, it was really interesting to some of the research. This book was originally published in a serialized form in a children's magazine in 1868, and then in a book form in 1871. So I love these old classic stories that these radio producers take and just bring to life, and they're phenomenal. So let's hear a little tidbit of this story at the back of the North Wind.
Hello? Is that you, Diamond? Are you all right, lad? I'm coming right down.
Why doesn't he answer? What if it's burglars? Oh, mercy me. Do you think someone is trying to steal our little dear son away?
Oh, you do take on so, Martha.
It is Diamond. He's out in the yard.
What's he up to outdoors?
And we're just going to leave you hanging with that.
Again, as we usually do. Yeah. Every month.
We're just going to try to take this scene by scene, and we'll give our overall thoughts towards the end here. Well, actually, overall opinion, Roy, Andrew.
Starting with
let's,
me?
Let's do that first, okay, yeah.
Starting overall. With you.
Yes. All right.
Without going into any specific scene.
Specifics, like just two thumbs up type of thing? 5 stars? No, I've heard this drama. I've listened to this drama several times, and I really enjoyed it. And my overall opinion would be that you need to buy it and listen to it because okay. It's amazing. I really like it. 2 thumbs up, 5 stars. One of my favorites.
10 out of 10.
Okay.
Or something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to concur with Roy. That was excellent. I've heard it a couple times myself. I think this is the 3rd or 4th time I've heard it. But I really like it. It's different. But it's different in a good way. It reminds me of Charles Dickens, kind of, with a C.S. Lewis-y fantasy twist.
That's a good way to put it. I hadn't thought of it like that. But yeah, that's, I mean, like I said, I'd never heard it before. So I'm listening to it. And it, honestly, it took me quite a while to get into it. I mean, the first part of it, you're like, wow, this is so strange. But once you get into it, there's a really a lot of different things that he's addressing, and I mean, I think you'd have to listen to it multiple times to catch all of the nuance, and I mean, there's a lot in this.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of that, can we just jump into like the first little bit?
Absolutely.
There were a couple things that the North Wind says to Diamond right after they're introduced that she wants him to follow. That were actually really, really interesting in the way that they're paralleling kind of being Christian and walking as a Christian. So it was really interesting to me because she tells Diamond first that if he wants to go with her, he has to follow her. Second, to hold her hand and she'll always be there. But the thing that got me was that no matter what I look like, as long as you're holding my hand, you'll know that I'm still the same North Wind. And she was talking about beauty and ugliness and stuff like
yeah.
that. But it was really interesting to me because it's kind of the same way that really walking with God is. Because sometimes it can seem like what God is doing is ugly. That's the way it looks. But as long as we're holding to his hand, then we'll know that that he's still the one that's in control. It was actually like the first 5 minutes of the drama, and it was like deeply profound and
yeah,
going places that I was like, whoa.
Definitely. And
slow down.
It really, actually, it makes me want to read the book now because, sure, you can listen to it, but I think sometimes if you're sitting there and you're reading it, I mean, you can go back over a passage in the book. And I mean, so this is a very meaty story. I mean, I think it would be great for a road trip. Listen to, I mean, it doesn't, all of the depth of it doesn't take away from the enjoyment of it, but
right.
There's still a lot in here.
Right.
It's light enough that a kid could listen to it and think it's great, but yes. It's deep enough that adults would listen to it and hear a totally different story. from the kids.
And get this, though. This was written for children.
For children, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe children were much more mature in the 1800s than they are now. But possibly. I would say that most children today would not grasp many of these concepts that are addressed here. But I maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
That's a good question. Probably not. But I still think that, like I said, that it would be a good story for kids to listen to just for the story.
Yes.
Because they would enjoy the story. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Now, something that I still don't quite understand is, and we know that the North Wind was taking orders from someone else.
You know, right.
She was not just acting according to her own whims. But, so the very first time she meets Diamond, she takes him out and then just leaves. And it's like, okay, he's out there. Why? What was the point of that whole, you know, why have him follow you and then just, you know. So it was very interesting.
Actually, what I took away from that was immediately after he meets her and she tells him to follow the way that she goes down the stairs. And he's too scared to go down the stairs because it's dark. So he goes his own way and goes down the ladder.
True.
And that's why she leaves. Because he didn't follow her like he was supposed to. And he even says in there, after he like scratches Diamond or something like that, the old Diamond, the horse.
Right.
That, oh, I didn't mean to lose sight of you. Where are you, North Wind? And that's kind of, again, it's the first 6-7 minutes of the audio drama. And there's like all this allegory going on. Mm-hmm. But I think that's part of the awesomeness of audio drama in general, like especially when you grow up with it, because I'll just use the example of Odyssey because it's easy and it's something that I've listened to ever since I was
and a lot of people 6. Can relate to.
Right. So, you know, I think our first album that we bought was like album 22, you know, it was like The Changing Times, which was Tom Vermeer and all that stuff. So I listened to it and we enjoyed it and blah blah blah. And we got older ones and newer ones and kind of mixed. We didn't really go in order or anything like that. But I listened to them as I was growing up, and I have memories of the way that I thought of the shows back then. But then I go and listen to them now, or even as I got older. And as I got older, I'd pick up more and more of what was going on in the story.
Yeah.
So yes. It's really cool to be able to listen to the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And as you get older and your perspective changes to pick out more and more out of the story than you thought was originally there when you're 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, I totally agree. And this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but they're currently airing all of the old Odysseys. They started back at the very beginning on the weekdays. And so I've been listening to them all over again.
I love it.
I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And I think that's especially true with a drama like this one at the back of the North Wind, because it is so, there's so much allegory and depth to it that, you know, if you listen to it as a 10-year-old, you're going to hear a completely different story than if you listen to it as 20-year-old or whatever, or a 30-year-old. I'm sure you'd probably hear a different story when you're 30 than when you're 20. So probably less so than 10 to 20, but, you know.
Well, And not to get too philosophical and, you know, deep here in the podcast, but I mean, I do think that a factor in that is that once you've got some years behind you, you've got some life experiences that you've gone through. And so even just one little line in the story can have a completely different meaning to you because you can relate. I mean, as a 10-year-old kid, you don't have all those years behind you to put those into perspective. For example, there's that line, and this is kind of a jumping ahead in the story, but when Diamond is talking to Nanny and he talks about, she's concerned that he got a bruise trying to protect her. He talks about, and I can't remember word for word, but basically, you know, a bruise on the outside will heal much quicker than if I had gotten a bruise on the inside.
Yeah.
Because I didn't step in and help you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, from a little kid, I mean.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
That one was just amazing.
Exactly. And in the same vein, I guess, or I don't know, but I guess from the perspective of a little kid listening to this story, 12, 13, 14, 15, parts of this you wouldn't relate to at all. Like, you know, when the parents or when the dad loses his job, mm-hmm. you understand that's bad, but that's really all you understand. When you listen to it when you're older, there's a whole another depth to that because you really get it.
Yeah.
How devastating that would be to lose your only livelihood and your home and everything else all at the same time. So the perspective completely changes and you can identify with different characters in the story as you get older, which is why audio drama is amazing. Stories are amazing.
Mm-hmm. And appreciating even the miracle of, like, I could say that word, but I mean, in the story, I guess it would be of, like, even him getting his horse back after he had assault, mm-hmm. after,
right.
you know, how much that really would mean to you. And even later on in the story, when he gets another job and, you know, things start to line out, like they say in the story, the wind, you know, blows some ships away and blows some ships on course. I'm paraphrasing, but
right.
you know,
yep. The same wind that blows one ship off course will be the same one that speeds another one on its way.
Exactly. And that's kind of like a running theme through this a little bit. Like, you can hear the announcer, he drops that in there a few times, the narrator, excuse me, in there a few times, he drops it in there that once again, the winds begin to blow and something changes in the story and whatnot. But
there are very few moments of humor in this drama. So the few that were there were very welcome.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
it
exactly.
kind of lightened it up a little bit because, again, this is very, and I hate to keep using the same term, but it's very deep. And one of those moments was that same scene that I mentioned a moment ago, when Diamond steps in to protect Nanny and he's getting in the scuffle with these other boys, and they call him, he mentions getting down out of the carriage, and they think he's a well-to-do boy who has mm-hmm. his own carriage, when that's not the case. His dad's a coachman, but they call him Little Lord La-Di-Da.
Yeah. Aren't you Little Lord La-Di-Da? That's funny. I like that, just the comments. Speaking of humor parts, this when she's like, you got a tie loose in your head, you do? Or something, whatever she says that line, or when she tells him, you speak Bosch. It's so funny.
And here's an interesting note. Again, I have not heard every single radio theater drama. But from the ones that I can recall at this moment, this is the only one that I can think of that was not written by one of the Focus on the Family folks, as in Paul or Dave or you know, somebody like that. This was written by Philip Glassboro.
Mm.
So he and Maria Watts was also credited. I'm not sure who that is, but I think Philip was probably the primary. But an interesting thing is, you know, he is British, so he knows a lot more of the way that the conversation would go. And
right.
So I don't know, maybe if it lent a little bit more of authenticity to this. I don't know if that's
the London language and everything.
Yeah.
The way slang and the talk, whatever.
I know that Paul McCusker did live in England for a while. But I just thought that was interesting. So I did catch a few different things. And again, I haven't read the book, so maybe this is just taken directly from the book. But little bits of the dialogue that was just sounded a little bit different, like how that instance that you gave where she repeats that at the end, like mm-hmm. I am,
yeah,
you do, or something like, what was the line you gave?
You had a tie loose in your head, that one, or
yeah. But then she says it at the end, you do,
yeah.
And I heard that a lot. Mm-hmm. And so just a little bitty things like that, that the language just seemed a little bit different from most other dramas that I've heard set in this same time period. So I don't know maybe that's completely irrelevant, but I noticed.
Good call, yeah.
Another moment that I kind of liked was when Joseph does find Diamond, the horse, old Diamond again, and he's talking to Mr. Judd, and he gets all emotional because there's his horse, you know, not even his horse. It was his boss's horse, but, and he goes and hugs the horse. Mr. Judd's like something along the lines of, I've never felt so attached to a horse to hug him.
Yeah. That actually, they've used that actor before too, Mr. Judd.
Yeah. He plays Mr. Beaver on the Chronicles of Narnia.
His voice is really cool. stands out.
And a lot of other things, too.
Yeah. I feel like the point of, like, the North Wind being a lady, I don't know, it's hard. Like, I've listened to it several times, and I don't know, it's weird, but I don't picture a lady, it seems like. I don't know if it's like that to you guys at all. But, I mean, they have her arms and her long hair and everything, mm-hmm. but for some reason in my mind, it doesn't, like, I don't see it. Because, like, you know, when they're moving and stuff, it's crazy. You, like, you can, in your mind, you see them moving, you know, when they go on out through the air.
Yeah.
You know, they have the wind and everything. But I don't know, I don't see a lady, you know, like, going through the air or whatever. I don't picture that. I just picture, I don't know, the wind or something. I don't know if you guys had that, or did you actually get that?
Well, I know that in other cultures, in their lore, the North Wind is mentioned, but it's usually in a masculine form. Mm. Like there's a short story which is so interesting that as I'm preparing for this episode, we're going over this story. I happened across a short story, and it's called "The Lad Who Went to the North Wind." And I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I look it up and read it, and it's completely different. I thought maybe it was like a short adaptation of it or something. Completely different, but the North Wind in this short story is male, and it's quite a bit different, and he's more of an angry, you know, I don't know what other term to use, but just a more of an angry type of a character, and so it's not nearly as allegorical as this story, but so I can see what you're saying, but I'd never popped into my head until I came across this. Mm. What about you, Andrew?
I think I didn't have any problems with it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have any problems with her being a lady. I'm just saying, like, in my mind, I don't see him like a lady and a boy flying through the air. I mean, I just see, like,
right.
the wind and the wind, just like the actual, you know.
Well, and I think that a lot of that was in his mind.
Yeah.
Because Nanny couldn't see the North Wind, the personification of the North Wind. She just saw the effects of the wind. So, I can see what you're saying, that there wasn't an actual being.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was looking at, the word, being, yeah.
One thing I really liked, though, is when he gets to the country where, well, I don't know if I should spoil this or not, but I'm going to go ahead.
Well, it's been around for a while, so.
Yeah. When he gets to what he thinks is the actual country, we later find out that it wasn't, but, and he comes back and he's talking with the storyteller, the narrator. And he asks him, the narrator asks Diamond, what happens there? And his response is so, like, you hear it and you're like, wow, that just doesn't sound right.
Right.
Yeah.
And he says, a river happens there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. Yeah. That is so cool. I don't know why, but it just, like, I mean, obviously the grammar there is way, I mean, a river doesn't happen, you know, but I mean, it just the way he phrases it, it just sounds so like a place you want to be, you
right.
know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
The language of that country. It's like, they don't speak, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Of course, we know he's referring to paradise or heaven, or you know, but it's just, I don't know. I literally was completely enthralled by this story, and it's like, I didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
I liked that part, though, whenever Martha and Diamond are reunited with Joseph after their stay at the seaside, he's presenting them to Big Diamond again, or Old Diamond, and they're all surprised about it. And Joseph says, perhaps the wind just blew us together.
Right.
And Diamond's like, pretty much, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Speaking of the wind blowing things, which that's the most obvious segue I think I've ever used in my life. But speaking of that, the sound effects were amazing of the wind.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've heard other podcasts that have talked about audio recording and stuff like that. And it's commonly held that recording wind is horrible. Like, it's the worst thing to try to ever record because you get that fuzzy, like,
yeah.
And that's not what you want. You want to get the sound of the wind, but you don't want to get that heavy weird fuzziness going on or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they pulled stock wind sounds or what, but it was really good.
Well, yeah, I don't know. We think about it like when you hear that, when you're actually like out in the wind, you know, you don't hear like a lot of like that high whistle or anything. Only if the wind is blowing through something do you get like a pitch or a tone.
Yeah.
You know, if you're outside, you hear the wind because it's blowing through the trees. You hear the leaves and whatnot. You only hear that like high whistle or whatever if you, it's actually, you know, being able to go through something. So you have to like on like they did in the audio drama, if I can talk, you know, manufacture what you think the wind would sound like. And
yeah, especially when the wind is a character.
Exactly. And that's like one thing when they're flying, you can actually, it sounds like they're, you know, they make the wind like her footsteps, basically, if I could say it like that. The characters, the wind is like the character's footsteps. They start to walk. You hear, if you listen close, you can hear the wind. It starts to pick up.
Oh,
and then it
right.
goes up and over the wall and everything. Right. And then, like, it's almost like she's just like flying, you know, if I can say it like that. Like, the wind is her footsteps. And they really match that, the wind and flying with her movements and everything. And I don't know. I think that was really cool with the sound.
Yeah,
effects,
it
definitely.
Was. And it was, the sound was done by Gap Digital. Hmm. So, phenomenal job.
Yeah.
With all of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, every radio theater production, I mean, it's like they don't ever miss anything, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like...
I don't think I've ever heard something I was like, hey, that didn't sound right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything has its place, it sounds right, it's perfect, you know, the actors. Especially with this actress, I mean, like some of her emotion in some parts, like you wouldn't think of, but you're like when she's... anyway, never
mind. So like when she goes from... calm, and then she gets mm-hmm. more stern.
Right, exactly. She, you don't think the wind like with a emotion or whatever, but kind of she does.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
So that character of North Wind was played by Juliet Stevenson, and yeah, just a phenomenal job. Because, and here's one thing that really stood out to me is the few moments when she would laugh, and right. it's a long sustained laughter, and it's like, man, I cannot laugh on command.
Yeah.
I mean, but it didn't sound forced.
I mean, no.
It was great.
Yeah, she was amazing too, because Diamond talks about how sometimes she seems like a little girl and then other times she's as big as the sky or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she does a really good job of making her voice match that.
Yeah,
too. Exactly.
She sounded small.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's crazy
how do you do that?
I don't know, but it's amazing.
Very talented. I love that scene though when Diamond goes and comforts that little baby in the next door apartment.
Yeah,
I mean, that is a beautiful scene.
Very. I mean, because like it's for a moment there, you hear the dad, you know, the dad who's drunk or whatever, and the wife. They, you know, he's yelling what, and then all of a sudden it's silent. And you're like, what? Did they fall asleep? You know, what's going on? You know, and then he leaves, and he's like, wife, does I think I see an angel?
Yeah,
whatever. And I was like, it's like they were watching the whole entire time, and they didn't like disturb him or nothing. You know.
Yeah.
That's a really powerful scene. I don't know. I think the scene of them, of Nanny, we're going back a few, but with Nanny and Diamond, when they get into that barrel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And the wind pushes the barrel over.
That was pretty funny.
They get the whole rolling sound and everything. That's pretty good.
And the sound of the barrel just breaking
exactly.
apart.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting close to the end, and we don't want to give away the ending just in case you haven't heard this.
True.
So just a couple of things I wanted to mention. I liked that scene where the storyteller, who we find out is a tutor for the children, he's correcting their grammar. It just struck me as kind of funny because I hear things like that all the time, and my first instinct is to correct somebody, but yeah. That's not really polite.
Yeah,
I just liked that scene.
It's funny because like Diamond will be saying something about the North Wind or whatever, trying to get Nanny to agree with him, and she like it doesn't make sense or whatever. She says something bad, and then the tutor comes and says something. He sounds like he's agreeing with Diamond, but really he's just correcting their grammar.
Yes,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
Any last thoughts on this one?
I think it's interesting how the narrator, the tutor, there's one line in there where he talks about how we sat down, and it wasn't me. I don't know the whole thing, but he said I became the pupil and he became the tutor kind of thing, and
yeah.
We sat down like grown men, you know.
Yeah,
and
He says he kind of forgot how old Diamond really was. Exactly. And he felt like they were peers almost.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought that was really neat towards the end there.
So there's a lot of discussion all over the internet about this book, about what certain things mean and what does this represent. And so I found it really fascinating. So we don't have to answer these, but I just thought I'd toss these questions out. Who was Diamond? Who was he really? What was this character representing? And who is the North Wind? I mean, you know, they're big questions, and sometimes when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, well, that's what she represents, and this is who she is, but then I'll think of another part, and I'm like, well, no, that doesn't jive with that. So it's like, I mean, there's a lot in this story. Again, it's something that after you listen to it, you can just sit and ponder for a while.
Right.
There was something that I found that said that the character of Diamond was in some ways based on one of George MacDonald's sons. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And what's funny, too, is sometimes when we get in these deep discussions and things, sometimes, not very often, but sometimes the author just was writing a story.
Yeah.
It does happen that way sometimes. Yeah. You know, people do read things into things that aren't really there. I don't think that's the case with this one.
Right.
But sometimes that does happen. So those discussions sometimes can be pretty humorous.
Yeah. When I listened to this drama, I wasn't like looking for, you know, parallels or anything or whatever. I was just listening to it to, you know, the enjoyment of listening to it. Uh-huh. And when I first heard it and times after that, it just became like a story that, you know, I really could, you know, I don't know, not connected with, but, you know, just, I liked it a lot.
Uh-huh.
But now that we talked about this, I'm like seeing like there's different parallels in it. I never actually seen that before, actually. I was the 10-year-old listening to the story.
Well, and that's what I did the first time I listened to it. I listened to it just, you know, I try to do this with everything that we review. Yeah. I'll listen to it straight through and don't take any notes. Just listen for the enjoyment of listening.
Yeah.
Then I'll listen back through again and just kind of listen with a more critical ear,
mm-hmm.
and just mark things down as it progresses. But so definitely the second time through, I'm listening a little more closely, and you catch things that you didn't hear the first time.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I mean, again, it's a fantastic drama. There were some reviews on Amazon which were quite negative, and it shocked me. I was like, wow. I mean, you really missed the point of what this story was trying to get across. But I guess it's not for everyone. But I really think it's very, very high quality, very good stuff. Music by Jared De Pasquale, who we've heard before, does some great, great music. Here's an interesting thing, too. The cover art for the album is really, really vivid, and it's a very nice piece of art.
Yes.
Well, in the show notes is a link to that full-size image without all the lettering over the top of it, so you can see directly from the artist. Their name is Lane Johnson. I'm not sure if that's a male or a female, but there's a link in the show notes that you can click to see that full image, and it's very, very neat. So nice. I think that'll do it for a review of At the Back of the North Wind. You definitely want to click the link in the show notes and go check it out. If you want to purchase it, there will be a link to Christian Book Distributors and to Amazon, so check it out.
And we should mention, I think we mentioned at the beginning, but also they are about to play this on Radio Theater. So
if you haven't heard it yet,
check out your local radio station.
Yeah, if you're listening to this in 2013, then check out your local radio station listings. If not, then you just have to go purchase it.
You can listen live on Focus on the Family, too, on their website.
That's true. Well, what do you say we check out some feedback?
Sounds good.
So what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got to email this.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
Well, in answer to your question, Harlow, what somebody thinks of the show is we got a message from Jerry Robbins from Colonial Radio Theater. After our review of The Prince and the Pauper in episode 33, And he said, "Hi, JD, just listened to the podcast. Thanks so much. You guys really gave it a thorough review. Wanted to mention a couple things about your comments, the room tone mainly. That's a choice I made years ago. When we started, I wanted our shows to sound like theater, not movies. Many of the old-time shows I listened to were recorded in theaters. So I wanted to have that same sound, the energy and feel of a live performance, very much in the style of the 1940s, I suppose. We record on four microphones as a full cast, not one line recorded at a time, animation style. So the actors are always standing and fighting for a microphone. The energy is high and the session moves along. I tried this sitting in a soundproof booth on a stool and reading the line style, and that's exactly what it sounded like." So I really appreciated Jerry sending that information over to us because
it
brings it into a perspective. What we were hearing was true, but it was done intentionally, and it makes sense now. So
definitely.
Yes, I agree. It's similar to the way that they record Odyssey. Kind of. They record everything together.
Yes.
But they do it in the booth. So it's kind of like,
I think they call it family style.
Like an in-between. Because this guy is saying, Jerry Robbins is saying that they're recording it in kind of an open room, but they are not walled off from each other at all.
Yeah.
Odyssey does it.
Well, there's no
where they're all together and they can see each other, but they're in their own like little studio thing.
Yeah, there's some sound absorption going on in the studio.
Yeah,
in Odyssey.
Exactly, because they are in a studio.
Yeah,
and they're going for the more of a realistic sound for each scene. They want each scene to sound like you're really there. So he's taking a completely different approach,
right,
which I can appreciate.
Right. And I like it. It's fine. Good.
So thank you for clarifying that, Jerry, and I'm sure the listeners will find that enlightening. I think we're about done for this episode. What do you guys say?
Yeah, I had a good time. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Absolutely.
Again, if you'd like to get in contact with us, let us know what you think about the show or, you know, have any feedback, you can email us, text us. We have a phone line. You can leave a comment on our blog. And, there's several ways to do that. We have an email address.
In particular, if you have heard this drama and you had some comments about the drama or our review of At the Back of the North Wind, leave a comment on the show notes at audiotheatercentral.com/34. And we would really appreciate hearing, you know, what you have to say. If you have a question for us you'd like us to answer on the show or a topic that you'd like to broach with us regarding audio drama in general or a particular production that you'd like us to take a look at, we'd love you to send an email or a phone call, voicemail. Our email address is feedback@audiotheatercentral.com. And our phone number is
6-2-3-6-8-8-2-7-7-0.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you followed that. If not, I'll say it again. 6-2-3-6-8-8-2-7-7-0.
Yes. And of course, you can always click that little button on the side of the website and record your voice feedback that way as well. And we would absolutely love to hear from you.
Yes, we love playing audio bites of our listeners.
Yes.
And leave a review on iTunes if you would like to.
Yes.
And it saves us from reading an email.
Yes.
Check us out on Stitcher. We're also in the TuneIn app now. So you can get either of those smartphone apps for your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in Stitcher and in TuneIn. So check us out there or subscribe right on the website. It's completely free. Check out our newsletter. We're going to be doing some contest things or giveaways and stuff, especially for people who are signed up to our newsletter. So check that out as well. Everything in the show notes, audiotheatercentral.com/34. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Audio Theater Central is a production of Radio CSS Media. RadioCSS.com.
There is a blonde.
Okay.
Reading an email.
There are many.
Yeah. No offense to anybody in the audience. There's this blondie.
No offense, babe.
And it was about these two Brazilian people that hadn't died. And she goes on to read about it, and it's like, oh, wow, this is so sad. And she's just weeping and crying. This horrible, sad story. And so towards the end, she's finishing up, and she's very emotional. She replies back with, that is so sad. How many is Brazilian?
I saw that one coming.
Oh, wow. Yes, no offense to anybody out there. We're not trying to alienate any of our listeners.
Even if you're Brazilian. Sorry.
Or if you're blonde.
Yeah.
Who cares about
a blonde? Or a blonde Brazilian.
There are Brazilian blondes.
Are there?
Yes, I'm sure.